All right. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. And plenty to talk about tonight as we head towards not only a national championship game in the sport of college football, Alabama and Georgia playing tonight, but we get to talk about an IU basketball victory. And those are always happy, especially when they're on the road at a tough place to play. And the Hoosiers did exactly that. They continued their up and down season. It appears that that's just the way things are going to go, folks. So I suppose strap in, get ready for that. But knowledge before the game up at Minnesota that Deron Davis had hurt his lower leg was the original description. ESPN described it as an Achilles injury. We found that out during the week, and then Colin Hartman was unable to go for this game, so the Hoosiers were going in shorthanded. Minnesota was as well due to a couple players, Reggie Lynch being suspended from the team. In particular, and Amir Coffey being injured, he not being able to go. So both teams missing a couple players, but Glass, you know, to me, missing, not missing, those are two pretty damn important players for Indiana, so I don't really care what Minnesota was missing. I know they were important to them too, but we were missing two pretty important players ourselves. We were on the road. We were in a place we don't always have a lot of success in, and on top of all that, we're coming off of really a pretty lousy-looking loss up at a Wisconsin team that was playing a bunch of walk-ons part of the time in that game during the week on Tuesday night. Hoosiers get the victory 75-71. Gutty is the best way that I can put it. You get production out of Robert Johnson and a career high. You get a start out of Justin Smith and, of course, a career high there and some great play out of him and some great play out of several different players. Bench understandably shrunk a little bit, but when you want a reaction after a bad game, and it was a bad game that we were talking about last Wednesday when we were last on the air up at Wisconsin, you got exactly what you wanted, and that's a gutsy win on the road against a team that really I don't know that a lot of people thought you had a chance against, especially without a couple players. It's nice to talk about this team as coming off of a gutty victory. We always say it doesn't necessarily mean a lot if the next victory doesn't, or if the next game doesn't come with the same kind of thing. But it's a place to start, at the very least, to talk about this week. Hopefully they can take it into their two home games. But again, it's a hell of a lot more interesting and fun to talk about a team that played the way they played on Saturday night.
Yeah, I didn't think they played poorly in the first half at Wisconsin. And I know we talked about that last week. I didn't think that was the case. They led for, you know, for almost 14 minutes in that half. It wasn't bad, but obviously Wisconsin to them down the stretch. Indiana fell into some of their old famous traps and things that were, it didn't go well with turnovers at times, shot making, decision making, things of the such. But Indiana found a way, and that's all you can ask a team to do is bounce back and recover. It's never easy to find out Thursday at practice that Deron Davis probably isn't going to play for however long that, I don't know, you've heard every out for the season, you've heard day-to-day and everything in between with that. And then Colin Hartman, you figure out right before a tip-off that he's going to warm up and try it, and if that doesn't work, what are you going to do? Well, you can't just go home. You can't get back on the plane and leave, so you better figure out a way to do it. And the easiest part, I think, for kids is when you don't have to think about why you're inserted into the lineup, you can just play. There's a little bit difference. We've heard Archie Miller talk about it, and I don't have a problem with this at all. That's not where I'm going with this, that you have to earn your time in practice. You have to earn minutes. You have to do things in practice. Zach McRoberts has been the exact example of that. Mm-hmm. The guy does things in practice. That's how he gets on the court in a game. Well, sometimes when you're trying to earn minutes in practice and sometimes when you're trying to earn playing time and earn the coach's eye and everything else, you put a lot of pressure on yourself, so when you get a chance, you don't want to screw it up. In this situation, you didn't have a choice. You were going to play because you didn't have anybody else to play. And sometimes that frees up kids. And without knowing Justin Smith or whoever you want to pick out of this example, but Smith, obviously, his point total was the one you're going to look at. He played basketball. He didn't look like he was being held back by anything. He didn't look like he was thinking. He was taking the ball to the bucket. He wasn't afraid to get into the trees.
He looked calm. He looked composed.
He looked like he wasn't going to come out of the game. And it looked like that confidence was instilled into him. And sometimes that's easier than having to say, okay, Justin, You've been sitting there for 17 minutes. Go in there and give me two really good minutes. Let me see something.
And he has looked lost in recent games to the point where they're barely playing him. So the start, I mean, because of the situation, you understand it. You lost two front court guys. But he took advantage of it.
And that
really
freedom
did.
Is something, because it's not like Justin Smith hasn't been given opportunities. You can remember some games where he's come in. I know he came in, I think it was a Youngstown State game. I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head. Where he comes in, he gets tied up the first time he touches the ball. He turns it over the second time he touches the ball, and he gets beat on defense the third plays in the game. And you just think, well, geez, what's that about? Well, number one, he's a freshman. If that's a third-year guy, you've got a whole different set of circumstances. It's different. But to see a kid flush all that down the toilet, go on the road against Jordan Murphy, who is probably arguably one of the best five players in the Big Ten, easy, hands down, the double-double machine, and go out and put 20 on him. Now, Murphy got 18. That's fine. Murphy got 10 rebounds. How many did Smith get? He just got three.
Smith got a couple fouls early, but you know what? He played 26 minutes.
Yeah, that's plenty of time.
Against the guy he's up against, he played fine. I mean, you can't say he played great on the defensive end, but I don't really care. If he's out there, if he's making Murphy at least earn it, and he's giving you something in the offensive end, what did he give you? He gave you 20. He didn't give you six.
No,
he gave you 20.
But he played 3 minutes against Wisconsin.
Yeah,
so that's my point.
He had been averaging 5 minutes since the Duke game started. Before that, he had 30. He started at Seton Hall and played 31 minutes. I mean, it's been up and down, but he's been in the doghouse for a while now.
Well, and some of that is because of the results he's had and the minutes he's gotten. And he hasn't produced the way he needs to produce. And guys like Freddie McSwain are grabbing some rebounds.
Yep.
And Zach McRoberts are playing well. But he took his chance. And he looked confident doing so. He wasn't wasteful. 7-10, 2-2 from 3, 4-4 from the free throw line. He just played very steady and solid. He didn't do anything outside of the realm of what he was supposed to do in that game. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the motif of this game. You didn't see Indiana doing things that they didn't need to do. They were very efficient. Robert Johnson had his best game as a collegiate by a mile. It's not even close. I don't care how many points he had against Penn State last year.
That was in overtime, I think, anyways.
Right. He took 21 shots. There were probably two bad ones in it. And if you take that many shots and you only have two bad ones involved in that, that's fantastic. That's exactly what you want from seniors on the road in the Big Ten. And that's been the angle with this team, is the consistent factor. And you see Justin Smith go from 3 minutes to 26 minutes, 2 points to 20 points. Somewhere in the middle is the answer. And that's going to be the next step for this Indiana team to face. As you mentioned in your open there, Archie Miller said the same thing after the game. He goes, this win doesn't mean anything if we don't go home and put two more on top of it.
Right, we've seen it.
And it's true.
I mean, you beat Notre Dame, you come home, you lose to Fort Wayne.
Exactly
2 days later.
And that's been the issue. And the one thing that jumps off the box score just scares you to death if you're a fan is three players had 68 of the 75 points.
Yep.
And that's just something that has been a, I don't want to say a winning formula, but the numbers were very similar in the Notre Dame game where Juwan Morgan and Robert Johnson had a ton of points and carried the load. And
if that's the way you have to win,
fine.
That's good. Well, but it's hard. It's hard to sustain that.
It's hard to do it night in and night out.
Again, it was two career highs, and you know, maybe that's becoming the norm for Juwan Morgan. But you know, 38 minutes for a guy who's our only real true big guy in there. If Deron Davis isn't going to be, that's going to be tough to sustain.
It is, but I think Morgan can handle it because he's in really good shape.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of miles on him over the last couple of years because he's dealt with all these injury problems. My favorite part was against a physical team that crashes a glass. He only had two fouls. He stayed out of trouble. He played smart. He let guys have plays. He didn't try to block every single shot.
If you told me you're going to out rebound Minnesota on their home court by 10, I would have thought you were nuts.
That's where I was going next with this, because rebounding, as I've told you 1,000 times, is a more of an effort thing than anything else. And if you want to look, take a look at Zach McRoberts grabbing that last rebound.
Freddie McSwain,
eight rebounds in 16 minutes for Freddie McSwain. Yep. Why he's getting after it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Indiana's rebounding numbers, don't do it. They're not very good, but they were in this game. They were terrible against Wisconsin in the second half. They had 8 second half rebounds.
Yep.
8. And they out-rebounded Minnesota. Minnesota had issues. Indiana had issues. They got after it. But what you saw was rebounds from your guards. You had 7 rebounds from Robert Johnson. That's fantastic. You had even Al Durham grabbed a couple boards. Josh Newkirk had a rebound. You have to have it from everywhere else. There's not going to be one guy that you replace Deron Davis with. There's just not that natural replacement in there. But what I noticed with Davis out of the lineup was Indiana had more space to operate. Mm-hmm. When Davis is in the game, he really doesn't float out to the perimeter. He really he's kind of like got the dog electric fence.
They don't post Juwan Morgan up in the same way.
Well, there's not enough. There's not enough room for all of that to take place. So I think that gave him a little bit more freedom. I think also when Robert Johnson makes shots, when Robert Johnson gets to the foul line, when Robert Johnson drives through the paint, it causes other teams problems. How many teardrops, floaters, little shots from 8 feet and closer? That's do you leave to go get him? Do you leave Morgan? Do you leave Smith for a dunk? Well, that's the problem that you want to cause offensively to other teams' defense. And Indiana didn't even shoot it that well. They only shot 40% for the game, but their old friend, the three-point shot, showed back up. I think I saw the stat today. When they make eight or more threes, they haven't lost this year, but it's getting to those eight threes that's been the problem.
Well, it's the eight. It's when you get them. We've always talked about that. But, you know, the huge key is Robert Johnson. And it would be nice if Josh Newkirk had come along, because we talked about these two senior guards at the beginning of the season and how important it was. And, you know, you've got some other seniors out there, but Colin Hartman, you know, is in and out of the lineup. But the bottom line is, with Robert Johnson, Josh Newkirk, you need positive contributions out of these guys. And not just, hey, good game, it was a pretty good job. You need these guys to be really good. They're your senior guards. You don't have a lot else to rely on. And Robert Johnson showed up in this particular game. Now, Robert Johnson has had up and down periods in his career. He has. I mean, let's just be honest about that. So you got to hope this can be sustained. If it can be, it's a beautiful thing for this Indiana team, because he filled every box on this box score right here. He's got two steals, he got a block, he got seven assists, seven rebounds.
That's what you should do.
You know, he got into the lane, like you said. He didn't rely on 3-point shots, and when he got open 3-point shots, he knocked a couple of them down. This team can't win with any kind of consistency. It can't do anything without any kind of consistency. If it isn't getting something out of either Robert Johnson and Josh Newkirk, and ideally Robert, because he's been there and done that several times with the last couple years, including, don't forget, a Big Ten team, our champion a couple years ago. He's the experienced guy. He's the guy they have to have.
You need balance, and that's the other thing, too. It can't be a two-man show, because not every night those two men are going to show up and play.
Yeah, no question. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in our friend Travis.
Hello, Travis. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. It's always good after a W. We enjoy that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I was wondering. I do have something I was wanting to maybe bring up. I've heard, I guess you call them talking heads.
That's right.
Different folks in radio and such and TV. But anyway, this makes me wonder. One, you'll hear a guy say, Mike Davis went to the championship game with Bob Knight's kids. But then Archie Miller, who, in my opinion, you get what you're given, and he's got to get his, you know, what people would call his own kids in. But when things don't look right, or things aren't maybe how he wants them or whatever, then they're not Tom Crean's kids. They're Archie Miller's kids. And how, I just would like for someone to explain.
There is no explanation, Travis. It's whatever argument you need that minute, you use it the direction
absolutely
you want
right
to use it. I mean, it really is, because
it's called a narrative, Travis. And if your narrative is you don't like Indiana basketball for whatever reason, you don't, you can pick apart each play, each 4-minute TV timeout segment, and say why that's bothering you. And I won't talk about the game on what I saw and heard about the game, but there was some just unbelievable agenda-driven analysis during that game that made my head spin, because for some reason, Devontae Green was lauded the entire game by the two guys doing the game, and Robert Johnson was taking every bullet that was shot, and it was completely off
Devontae
base.
Devontae is lucky to be on the floor half the time right this minute, because he's in that funk too.
I agree with it. I think if you want to nitpick, that's the easiest way to do it, because there is no right answer for it. No coach comes in and takes over from a program clean. Tom Crean didn't even do that when he got here. Right. He threw a lot of guys off the team, or didn't ask him to come back, or what it was. But here's the simple thing. You go to Minnesota, they have problems, you have problems. They have the home court. They're playing in their own gym in front of their fans. They should have the advantage.
And arguably have the two best players on the floor out there.
I believe they were a 10-point favorite. Indiana held them to no field goals, in the last 3 minutes and 35 seconds. They were down 69-65 was Indiana and won the game 75-71. So that's a 10-2 run to close the game on Minnesota's home floor. And if you want to know anything about coaching college basketball, you look at Minnesota's last two shots they took with a timeout and get back to me whose players or whose players.
With 20 seconds.
That was awful.
Right. So they have issues. Indiana has some roster issues. If Durant, and good job, Travis. We got to hit a break. Yeah. He's always paying attention. But the issue is everybody has issues. All teams have injuries. All teams have suspensions. All teams have on whatever it is. But that was a great win on Saturday because of the circumstances surrounding it. And with kids, not professionals, with kids, it's easy to rally around the first one. But if you think Indiana basketball, and somebody told me the internet was, I wasn't on it for the most part because I was too busy working the game, was a buzz about it's better to be without Deron Davis.
That's always stupid.
Well, I mean, what kind of fan are you to say a kid that's played 14 games this year and gets perhaps a potential season-ending injury is going to improve
your team. They played one game. They played their butts off.
They played one game.
Give the kids that are out there credit for playing their butts off.
And my point is, emotion only gets you so far. We've talked about it on this program for 2 months about what kind of roster and what kind of issues and deficiency this roster has. Mm-hmm. And if one of your roster goals is to play defense and try to rebound to get you going where you are, I don't see how losing a 6'10 guy is going to make anybody better. You can't take that emotion from Minnesota and put it in a jar and just open it when you need it. You're going to have to find guys like Robert Johnson, who doesn't need to get 28 every night. It'd be nice if he would, if he could find a more consistent level of play throughout, because that's what you expect from a senior.
Right.
Anybody that's going to put anything on Justin Smith, which I guess is that he's the toast of the media today.
He's great today, sure.
Justin Smith deserves every plaudit he got for Saturday's performance.
For one game.
And the hardest thing to do, we just mentioned it with Robert Johnson, the senior who started over 100 games for Indiana, is doing it again.
Yeah.
So if Justin Smith plays 12 minutes against Penn State and has 4 fouls and 2 points, it's not time to abandon ship on Justin Smith. That's silly.
And that's more the norm recently, anyways.
You need Josh Newkirk to play every night. Mm-hmm. You need Al Durham to back up Josh Newkirk every night.
Right.
You need Devontae Green to come off the bench and give you energy and spunk and unknown stuff that puts the other team on its heels. You cannot pick and choose these players when you feel like it to hope they have good games. Look, it'd be nice if they all played great at the same time, but Indiana would be a top 10 team if they did that. That's the issue.
Look, to Travis's point real quickly, there's a lot of ways that a coach is a good coach, and there's a weakness to every coach that's out there.
And there's a weakness to every team that's out there.
And I guarantee you 99% of the people watching the games don't know what either one of them are.
Right.
Because the coaches are asked to do a hell of a lot of different things, and they're not going to tell you most of them. That's why I always say, if you want to know how a coach feels about his player, look at how he plays him. Down the stretch of the football season, they stuck with Richard Lego, and they made sure that he was the one out there. They didn't even want to touch anybody else because they liked the way he was going. With Justin Smith, they must have liked something they've seen. And Archie talked about that when he came back from break. We really liked the way Justin came back from the break. Now, he didn't play him a lot right away, but he gave him the start when he had a chance to give him a start and needed somebody to step into some minutes. That tells you he likes what he's got. He played Robert Johnson 38 minutes. There's people out there, like you say, on the internet, who are like, Robert Johnson, I can't wait till he's gone, just like with James Blackman. They're playing him 38 minutes for a reason. Even if he's not scoring 28 points, they're playing them 38 minutes for a reason. They think they can win with this guy. And they have a lot more information than most of the fans do.
And we told you that last week. There's no last Wednesday when they were 1-2 going to Minnesota, it's not time to bag it after 3 games. You have 15 conference games to play.
And nobody's going to fire Archie Miller at 9-7 at this point in time.
And if Indiana happens to hold their home court advantage this week, tomorrow night against Penn State 6:30.
Which, by the way, by the end of the weekend and Northwestern is no guarantee.
Nothing's guaranteed. Again,
I mean, we won at Minnesota, but you go, hey, you got these 2 home games. You should win these. You don't know in a Big Ten right now.
You sure don't. But I'd rather play 2 games at home this week than 2 more on the road.
Sure.
Well, that's the point. The point is, you could be possibly, there is a chance to be sitting 4-2 when we come back next Monday at 6:00 and talk about that. And that's a lot different than grabbing 8 rebounds and falling to Wisconsin on last Tuesday night. What is the difference? The difference is the effort. The difference is making shots. How many three-pointers did you make? Well, there were 8 three-pointers made in this game, and none of them were made by Colin Hartman, who made all of them at Wisconsin.
That's right.
Now, would you like to have something a little bit more consistent? Yes, but Indiana's a 31% three-point shooting team.
Yeah, it's one of the worst in the nation.
You can't ask them to do that night in and night out. That's a want. If they can find ways to get better shots and make a few more of them, who's to say they can't shoot the ball better in the year? It's not likely. But if you get better looks, it is likely. Mm-hmm. If they're patient and don't force things. Look, Indiana, where were the points in the paint? Points in the paint were 34-26 against one of the best shot-blocking teams in the country.
Yeah.
One of the best rebounding teams in the country. Rebounds right here in front of me, 45-35, 17 offensive rebounds to 8.
Yeah.
17 second chance points to 9 without Hartman, who's 6'7 or 6'8, and without Davis, who's 6'10 or 6'11.
Yeah.
Play hard. Good things happen usually to teams that play hard. And Indiana didn't get bit by the turnover bug. That's another thing that helped. Just 13 of them.
Mm-hmm.
13 turnovers are fine when your opposition has 14 or 15, and that's what happened. Remember, they only had 12 at Wisconsin. Wisconsin had 15. But here's the thing. There's 3 things that have to happen for this team to get to another level. They have to make more shots or score more baskets, whether that's getting to the free throw line. You can't miss 14 layups. How many layups did they miss in this game? Juwan Morgan makes the greatest post move you'll ever see. The fake and spin.
The good news is they're getting to the basket.
So keep getting to the basket.
The bad news is they're missing some of those shots. But you're right. I mean, the one thing that does not appear to be obvious is that they're going to turn around the three-point percentage.
No.
I mean, they're 8 of 19 in this game, and that's going to be one of their higher percentages.
That percentage should have been better. They had 2 or 3, maybe even 4, 2-3, 3-2-1 shot clockers that they had to take from 24, 25 feet. I know that counts. Minnesota had to do the same thing as well. But when you get better shots and you move the basketball, you get really good shots. Justin Smith, both his three-pointers were wide-open three-pointers.
Yep.
Those are shots that means good offense. If they don't go in, do you say, oh, geez, you don't want to take them? Well, at some point, when you're not guarded like Smith wasn't in those circumstances, you knock them down. And when shots go in and when points get scored, you're a better basketball team. There's no doubt about it, because the pressure of defending all the time when you can't score, you saw it in the Wisconsin game. Mm-hmm. If you can't take the pressure off scoring, you have to be perfect on the defensive side, and that's asking a lot, especially in a league that's as well coached as the Big Ten, especially in a talent-laden league. Michigan State couldn't score yesterday.
No, they had a real
struggle. And look what happened to them.
They had a real struggle.
They shot 33% and got their doors blown off at Ohio State.
And they've been beating the crap out of people.
That's exactly right.
Dominating. We've got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes for you. Of course, we're in the postseason of the NFL, so Monday Night Football is over, so we're with you until the top of the hour. We'll be back with you Wednesday, as always, 6 o'clock, and then shortly thereafter, our college basketball season will continue. Xavier at Villanova. Ooh. What a game that is on Wednesday
night.
7:45 is a pregame for that game. We'll have it. We got a whole bunch of college basketball games we've added to our schedule.
Meaty games,
some good
too.
Ones. And a bunch of good ones, I mean, like right away. Next week, it's Kansas, West Virginia, and then next Thursday, it's St. Mary's again. I mean, it's go check it out, WGCLradio.com. Of course, our centerpiece is always high school sports, and on Friday night, we've got a good one, Edgewood at Owen Valley. Glass, you and Terry will be there. 7:30 is going to be the tip-off out there in Spencer for another good one. Got some rivalry games coming up here on Friday nights the next couple times. And NFL football all weekend. So we'll tell you more about that also on Wednesday and throughout the week. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers, after the loss at Wisconsin, go up and win 75-71 at Minnesota. That is without Deron Davis, whose status is unknown currently. That's without Colin Hartman, who would appear to be day-to-day or game-to-game or whatever it is exactly with, I think, a shoulder for him.
Sore shoulder. But something's shouldery.
It's a lower leg. Dan Dockich knows everything, so he told you he's out for the year with an Achilles injury. I guess if you want to believe that, go with that. Until I hear that, I'm going to go with lower leg injury and hope that he comes back. I wouldn't say my hope is high because... you know how that whole kind of thing goes. But without that, and with Minnesota missing a couple players themselves, Indiana played their butt off. And I think that is the key to take from this game is they played their butt off. You know, not all of it was super smart. Not all of it was perfect. There were some bad fouls. There was a senior guard who only played 16 minutes because they didn't like what he was doing. There was some things that weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. They didn't win it with 16 three-pointers. They won it by being gutty. They won it by hitting the boards by 10 at one of the best rebounding teams in America. That's big time for this team. It's one game. It doesn't mean that's what this team is now going forward. We always have to remember that, and people always forget that. But for this particular game, it was a hell of a gutty effort. And I don't know what the reasoning behind the effort is. I'm not sure that reasoning is going to show up tomorrow night against Penn State. But it was a hell of a lot of fun to watch. And I think that's what Hoosier fans have been wanting to see, is that kind of gutty effort on a regular basis.
Sure. You saw it against Notre Dame on a neutral floor. You saw it against Minnesota on the road. Yeah, exactly. Now do it again. That's the thing that people want. You want consistent effort. The effort should always be there. Whether shots fall or not, that's another thing. You want teams to find easier ways to score baskets. You saw a lot more of that. You didn't see the settle for jump shots. Archie Miller has said this till he's blue in the face. You listen to him after every game. You listen to every press conference. When we shoot jump shots, we are not going to win very many basketball games. Mm-hmm. We need to find ways to get easy baskets. We need to find a way to get open looks. But when we force the ball in the dribble, force the ball with the pass, make lazy passes. You didn't see a whole lot of that. I mean, there were turnovers. There were some bad turnovers.
Do you think he means that for this team only or for as a philosophy?
That's a tenet
general
of basketball. If you're giving the ball away, if you're a bad shooting team that shoots too many jump shots, that's suicide. That's not how you want to get beat. If you can't finish at the rim and you're struggling to make layups, well, that's one thing.
But
you're
in today's day and age, when teams like Duke and Kansas and Louisville, and they're all throwing up threes left, right, up and down.
Didn't win at North Carolina State. Didn't win at Boston College. Yeah, you have to have balance, and that's a key. And you're trying to find guys to help you with that balance. You need balance on the scorebook. You need balance in transition defense. You need balance on the defensive end of the floor. You need the floor balance on offense. You need to have guys in the right space doing the right things. People say, well, why does McRoberts play? Didn't score. When he is at his effective best was, again, a snapshot of the Minnesota game. Take you back to the Notre Dame game. What's he doing? He's poking the ball. We had four steals.
Yeah.
Four steals. That's four turnovers he caused.
Yeah, seven rebounds.
That's fantastic. And none bigger than the one he grabbed at the end of the game where he gets his head wrapped around there.
Yep.
He's a disturber. And what he doesn't do offensively, he can make up for to a degree on the defensive side of things. Not every matchup is great for him. If every matchup was great for Zach McRoberts, he'd be a player playing with a scholarship at a bigger school. But he's working himself into that. He has been forced to do it.
There are nights and there are several times when he has shown to be an offensive liability. He did have three assists in this game.
That counts.
And they might have all three been on Robert Johnson curl screens into the lane.
And all for layups.
That's great. And even more important, he's got to put something in the box score. And the seven rebounds and the four steals, again, to put it as simplistic, and you love to do this and it's perfect, seven rebounds and four steals is 11 possessions that
gained.
He made sure that you had.
And how many did he give away?
None.
Zero.
Zero turnovers.
He took one shot that was kind of goofy, the reverse layup, but you know what? Everybody takes a goofy shot. Basketball's not a game about perfect. He had no turnovers.
He was 0-3. It wasn't 0-9.
No, it wasn't. And the 1-3 he shot was a 3-2-1 three-pointer from the top of the key. So that's fine. But what he has to do is he has to find a way to get into that scoring column because 0 points Newkirk, 0 points McRoberts, that's 47 minutes. Zero points Durham, that's 22 minutes. That's 69 minutes.
Yeah.
Two for Green, 69 and 13 is 82 minutes. And McSwain, 98 because he played 16 minutes. I think my math's right there. And he had 5 points. So you had seven additional points. We know that's not going to travel. That's fine and good. But what does help? Playing at home sometimes help. Playing at home should get you fired up. You're not coming back to a crowd that's sitting there going, well, you just lost two in a row on the road. Students are back. You should have a house that's a little excited to see you at a 6:30 tip tomorrow night. But you know what you didn't do? You didn't fake this. You didn't hit those 17 threes and just say, hey, that papers up all the cracks. They got after it on the glass. They didn't have 20 turnovers. Those things, the turnover stuff has to be over with. Because the guys handling the ball the most are Newkirk and Johnson, and mm-hmm. those are just things that they have to grow out of. They only had four turnovers in 50-something minutes. That's really good for as much as mm-hmm. they handle the ball. You'd like to be perfect and not have any, but it just doesn't work that way. So you have to live with a couple of them. But when Indiana finds good openings on offense, when they're patient, when they make two or three passes to get a three instead of one pass to get a three, it seems like it's always better. On the example where the ball's moving. Yeah. The one pass three just is – it's a frustrating shot, especially the time and space, the down and distance. Indiana got a break. I was telling you off the air, at 67-62, Al Durham brought the ball up, gave it to Johnson. Johnson penetrated, kicked it out to Durham right in front of Indiana's bench, and with like 22 on the shot clock, down five, he's hoisting one with the guy running at him. Mm-hmm. He's a freshman. Freshmen are going to freshmen. I get it. But those are sometimes difficult shots that don't need to be taken at 21 in the clock
right.
when Robert Johnson has 20 points in the half and Juwan Morgan has 20 in the game.
Get them the ball.
Well, I mean, you could tell in the flow of the game, Indiana has to be smarter in that sense. Who's hot? Who's carrying you? I'm not saying if you're wide open, you can't shoot the ball. That's right. not how it is. But Al Durham wasn't wide open there. No. That's something he's going to learn from and move on.
They've done that pretty well with Juwan Morgan in some games where they see what he is doing down low and have fed him the ball. The Notre Dame game is a perfect example of that. I mean, over and over and over.
And wasn't it nice to see him knock down some threes again?
And one step back three when he got a long rebound. I mean, the kid works his butt
off. You know
what
that is?
20 and 12.
That's confidence.
Yeah.
That's confidence. And 8-16 is probably his worst shooting game in his last 10.
three of four in threes, and I don't know the last time he's made
and
a
he's
three.
He missed, what, two or three layups in this game?
Is that going to continue? I don't know.
But if he has open shots, I think we've seen Juwan Morgan over the last couple of years be able to knock them down.
He can definitely knock them down.
He hasn't this year. It's been an enigma for the entire team. Mm-hmm. Robert Johnson's a career 38-ish percent three-point shooter. He started shooting around – well, he's 0 for 4 against Wisconsin, and he was 3 of 7, so what is that?
He just doesn't shoot a lot
of them. Well, it's 3 of 11. That's mm-hmm. not his career average, and you're just waiting for these guys to break out. Maybe
he's shooting 24% this year.
From three?
Yeah, only 21 even attempted. This has not been his year for the three-pointer.
No, it has
not. He has been in
21 three-pointers in the entire season or just Big Ten games?
No, entire season.
That's insane.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's taken more in the past.
Oh, he's taken more.
I agree with you there. But right now, he's got 21 on the season.
I'm wow. Looking,
yep, this is right off the IU webpage.
Wow, that's got me baffled because they've played 15 games. He's shot barely one game. That,
I mean, that's been one of the things about this team, though. I mean, I wouldn't say you lost because you didn't come into the season thinking Juwan Morgan was going to be a huge three-point shooter, but you knew he could knock a couple down, and he really hasn't. 5 of 21. 3 of 4 in this game.
25 of 45 from your three big scores is fantastic. Don't do the rest of the math, but that's a good place to be. What makes Indiana better when they go forward? Shooting at a higher percentage, getting easier baskets. They have to shoot the three-point shot in the sense when they're open, and some of them have to go in. Mm-hmm. If not, guess what you need to do? They gave you the formula. They need to clean up the glass. They need to get out and transition a little bit. We saw that early against Wisconsin. There have been times when they can do it. Robert Johnson made some great decisions late in that game in transition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Found a way to get fouled, found a way to finish at the rim. It's there. Now it's just doing it day in and day out, game in and game out, and that's what makes the Big Ten difficult. But Indiana has a little bit of a blueprint here to figure out how to do it moving forward.
Got
to
take a quick break again. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone of Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Again, we're with you till 7 o'clock tonight, so we're back to our normal schedule as Monday Night Football has expired. We will have all the NFL action on the weekend, however, so tune in for that. And you can go to WGCL Radio to check that out. You'll also want to go to WGCLradio.com to check out our college basketball schedule. It continues Wednesday night after our show. 7:45 will be the pregame for Xavier at Villanova. That is a heck of a matchup. Already been a couple of really nice matchups in the Big East. And we'll have that one for you on Wednesday. And then Friday night, we're back to high school basketball with Edgewood heading to Owen Valley for the Black and Blue game. 7 o'clock chalk talk and 7:30 tip-off for that game. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Hoosiers now have to move forward. And, you know, just like how the Notre Dame game didn't define anything because they lost 2 days later to Fort Wayne, and just like how the Fort Wayne game didn't cause them to lose at Minnesota or vice versa or whatever you want to say, and they went to Wisconsin, they lost the second half of that one and still managed to go to Minnesota. None of this means there is a status that is a go-forward constant.
Yeah, or go backwards constant.
And it should be more at least obvious with this team that that is the case. It is a up-and-down team. So now it's got two home games after a tough two road games. It came out 1-1. I'm frankly surprised it won one of those.
Yeah.
But now it's got two home games. And everybody has always looked at Penn State and Northwestern at home and goes, oh, that'll be awesome. We'll be 4-2 after those couple. But this team is too up and down, and this team is missing Deron Davis, and we don't know what it's doing with Colin Hartman. And Justin Smith had a great game, and we don't know what he's going to be like tomorrow night. And Juwan Morgan just put up a career high for us to be able to
Robert
win on
Johnson,
the road.
Robert Johnson.
And Josh Newkirk had no points, and so on and so forth here. I don't know what to expect tomorrow night.
I'll tell you what to expect. I think you're going to get another consistent game out of Juwan Morgan that looks very similar to this one, and Robert Johnson's going to play very well again. You think at home they would pop in and be that because they are the two quintessential leaders of this basketball team. It's not even close. There's not even somebody scratching the surface for third. These two guys know night in and night out that they have to make things happen. And the way they made things happen in the Minnesota game, if I was Archie Miller, I'd just sit him there and say, watch it over and over again. Look how good you were because you were good. It wasn't something about, wow, it was just one of those nights when I made 10 threes, everything was going in. No, it was in the paint. It was ball faking. It was getting guys. It was getting foul.
Some of Robert Johnson was running stuff for him into the lane.
Perfect.
The cuts across screens are into the lane. Is that stuff that they haven't been using?
You know how you get guys involved that don't get involved? Mm-hmm. You run plays for them. And where do you get them started? You get them started at the glass. Mm-hmm. What do they do late in the game? They run a double high screen at the top. Right. And one guy would go one way, one guy would go the other way. And they found Johnson every time. If that was that's a great scouting report. It's a great play. They didn't know how to defend it because they didn't know, do I lay off Juwan Morgan here to help in the lane and let him knock down threes? He's 3-for-4 on threes. I don't want to do that.
Right.
What's good offense?
Right.
Well, keep doing that. And also getting easier shots when you don't have to rely on 3-2-1 threes at the end of the shot clock buzzer. Well, that's an issue as well. But what you need to see from this Indiana team is more balance. You can't go in. If you tell me right now the remaining players, the five guys are going to score 7 total points, mm-hmm. tomorrow night at Penn State, Indiana's going to be in for a dogfight. That can't happen.
Let me throw this devil's advocate at you for the win against Minnesota. If you are Richard Pitino before the game, you tell your guys, Juwan Morgan doesn't shoot him. Justin Smith doesn't play, lay off of him and make him make him.
Robert
Johnson, we don't have any idea if he'll make him or not, but make him make him. And you got beat because of that.
Yep.
Now, does the next team come out and take that away from you and you're screwed?
Penn State's going to be interesting because they lost at home to Rider just a couple weeks ago, 71-70.
Yeah.
They have the leading scorer in the league, Tony Carr. Or right there, 19-6, and Murphy's 20. So you've got guys that could play. Didn't the game here last year go to triple overtime?
Yeah, I believe.
And Johnson had a career high, and Bryant had a career high, and Newkirk had a career high. And then at Penn State last year, if I'm right, James Blackman hits the buzzer beater.
That sounds right.
Swish.
That's so when OG got hurt in.
Penn State's not going to come in here and think that this is impossible or whatever
exactly
it is.
Right.
And that's fine because no one does that in the Big Ten. Nobody comes and lays down and goes anywhere. But what you need is you need to find a way to get Josh Newkirk involved in the game, very similar to how Robert Johnson got involved with the game. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it looks like when he is confident, he plays better. And how do guys get confident? Do they get confident grabbing rebounds and passing the ball? Yeah, they sure can. But it seems like if a guy gets going offensively, he tends to stick out a little bit more. So you need to find some balance. You need to fire up that next. You're going to have Johnson and Morgan. Mm-hmm. It's the 3-4-5-6. I don't
next?
Care who it is.
Yeah. Who's
just
next?
Somebody get it rolling. And it doesn't have to be every night with
the only one that's had any real consistency to him has been Freddie McSwain on the glass.
On the glass.
And he's had a couple games where that hasn't happened also, but, you know, at about 15 minutes, the kid has been hitting the hell out of the glass.
He does. He's active. He keeps things going. He's kind of like a mini McRoberts in that situation. It's different because he keeps balls alive. He keeps them ping-ponged on the glass. But McRoberts and McSwain, the brothers there, the Mick brothers, have to figure out how to get a couple baskets as well. What they're doing is great. But couldn't you imagine if they scored 8 or 10 points combined? That's going to lift Indiana to another level. And where are they going to score? They're going to score around the basket. So get some of those garbage points and junk points. Indiana's going to have their hands full. Lamar Stevens had 30 on the weekend night against – they beat Northwestern handily at Penn State. All Big Ten games are big. But that's why you play these games. This is it. Students are back. You should have a good house. And again, Johnson and Morgan, they don't get nights off anymore. There are no more passes for them. They should understand that. They should know after Wisconsin and Minnesota the kind of the low and kind of the high. Let's find a middle and roll with that.
I don't know right now what Northwestern is, and we can talk about it Wednesday. But what I do know about Penn State, and this has been the same for several years now with Tom Chambers as our coach.
Pat Chambers, but yeah, I know.
Pat Chambers, Tom.
The former NBA player.
I think he has a hair plugs now or something, too, which is great. Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, that's it.
What I know is they are going to come in and punch in the mouth, no matter where they play. They are a tough team. They've always been a physical team. Sometimes they're a cheap team. But they are definitely going to come in, and they are going to be tough about it. I'm not so sure that the Minnesota team we saw the other day was as tough as I expected them to be, because I normally see them be a very tough team.
Issues.
So here's our question. At home, in Assembly Hall, fans, look, it's great that the students are back, but everybody in that place isn't as loud for the Penn States and Northwesterns of the world as they are for the Michigan States
and
Purdue's.
You know my theory on that. You have to give them something to cheer for. Get on the floor, play hard like you did at Minnesota.
But I'll tell you what, there's a handful of games. There's 3, 4, 5 games a year where the fans are in it from the first second. You don't have to give them anything.
Right.
This isn't one of them. This is a game they could get out tough on their home floor. Do we think that's the case? Have they showed us with their effort the other day that they can out-tough somebody and they can out-tough somebody who wants to be the bully?
I think they've shown that their effort depends on the day. And until you figure out that effort every day and that will to win, the guts, whatever you want to call it, Indiana's going to go up and down the ladder a little bit. I don't think that's any surprise. If you heard Don Fisher talking pregame show, the Wisconsin game is one where you shake your head and you wonder, well, why is that? Why is that happening? Well, this is a team that didn't have a lot of successes last year. This is a team that rode the same wave up and down. Mm-hmm. Are they getting out of that wave? The only way you can get out of it is to play yourself out of it, and they have a wonderful opportunity this week with 2 home games to perhaps be sitting 4-2. And yeah, we'll put the cart in front of the horse. We can do that. We're not coaches. Start tomorrow night. Las Vegas has Penn State as a 1-point favorite. That tells you everything you need to know. If that doesn't get your attention as a player, if that doesn't get your attention, they'll have their attention. They don't worry about things like that. And I think you'll see a good performance for them tomorrow night. But you can't win with 2 or 3 guys in this league. You got to have 5, 6, or 7.
Indiana, if you go by Ken Pom, statistics is an interesting one to me. They are 304th of the nation in both 3-point percentage offense, which
and
means
defense,
they're among
yeah.
the worst, and defense, which means they are among
teams
the worst
a lot of them.
At both. So how important is it for them to be better at the 3-point line?
Every game they have to be better. You can't fix what you did last game. You can learn from it and get better. Identify shooters, figure out who they are, and make sure someone else beats you. If Justin Smith for Penn State's going to go out and hit 4 for 4 threes, God bless him. Mm-hmm. What else are you going to do? So if you're the Hoosiers tomorrow, Tony Carr has to be on your radar. Lamar Stevens just got 30. So those aren't – no one's sneaking up on anybody anymore.
Notice that one.
And play hard. College football playoffs tonight. Who are you rooting for?
Who am I rooting for? Let's do something different.
Sinkhole game?
No. I don't mind Georgia.
You don't mind Georgia?
I don't mind Georgia.
Is
so
Herschel
much.
Walker playing?
You know what?
Eric
let's,
Zier?
Let's give it to somebody new, and then we can talk about how they're all Mark Richt's players.
This will be a...
No, I like Georgia a little bit in this game.
It'll be 5 and 9 years for Bama. That's unbelievable.
The run that Alabama is on is absolutely incredible. I mean, go back to UCLA and John Wooden type of stuff.
In this
day and age.
Stuff, yeah.
In what they're doing. I'd like something different. Let's go Bulldogs.
All right. That'll be the first time ever an Alabama assistant from Saban era beats him.
Oh, there you go.
11-0.
Something's got to happen. It's got to break eventually. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday, so tune in then. You've been in the zone.